Live from the mysterious, mist-enshrouded mountaintop headquarters of X and Y Communications, it's X and Y on the Fly with your hosts, Scott McKay and Emily Grillo.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another episode of X and Y on the Fly. This time, episode 6 already. And I'm Scott McKay, your host, and along with me, as always, is my lovely and talented co-host, Emily Grillo.
Hello, everybody.
And tonight's topic is going to be one that's near and dear to my heart. We're going to be talking about the concept of women wanting a man who will protect them, a man who will make them feel safe and secure. What do you think about that, Emily?
Well, I think that's interesting. We talked about that earlier this week, and just different variety of things, like a man not so much making her feel safe physically, but emotionally also.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Let's start there. You know, I think a lot of us guys go through life going, all right, well, a woman wants a guy who's going to make her feel safe and secure. After all, you know, there's all these guys and, you know, these bad people who are going to come attack you, rape and pillage your home, take everything that's important to you, physically assault you, and, you know, it's up to us, the men, to make sure you, the weaker sex, are protected. That's what we think. That's what we, most of us guys, that's what we think you mean.
No, actually, we want to feel safe emotionally.
So, is there any truth at all about wanting to be protected? I mean, do most women your size, 5'1", or whatever, want this 6'4" monster of a guy just so they'll feel protected from all the bad things that might happen?
No.
So, the concept of you pumping gas by yourself late at night, you know, you'd rather the guy be there. None of that.
No, if we're pumping gas in the middle of the night, we'd rather have a guy there with us.
Okay. So there is some truth to the fact that you want a guy to protect you.
Yeah, we do. But only from real danger, not from, you know, not some guy who's, you know, at a bar going, you know, trying to pick a fight with somebody else. That just puts us in danger. That's not safe. But in real situations, we do like that security.
So you just mentioned something extremely interesting to me. And being the podcast host such that I am, I pick up on these things. You just mentioned that when a guy picks a fight with another guy at a bar, even to protect you, that kind of puts you not at ease, but kind of gives you a feeling of discomfort.
Yes, it does.
That doesn't make you feel secure at all.
No, having a guy show off, either trying to pick a fight with someone else or trying to do little wheelies in his car or whatever, that does not...
In his car?
In his car.
Well, I would be impressed. I'm another guy. A guy can do wheelies in his car.
Wheelies
I'll tell
on
you straight
his bike
up.
And, you know, spinning his wheels on his car, whatever you want to call it, does not make us feel safe. It makes us very uneasy.
So, ironically, a lot of the ways that a woman feels potentially uncomfortable around a guy are caused by the guy.
It's that macho attitude.
So when a woman says she wants a guy to make her feel comfortable, secure, yeah, okay, maybe there's a time or two in the next 6 months where she's really going to wish he was there to protect her from this weirdo who's stalking her at the ATM machine.
Right.
But on a daily basis, you are looking for a man who is going to make you all feel secure himself.
That's right. He is
making you feel secure. He's not the guy creating images of weirdness, not being creepy, like we talked about on the first date
topic
on the episode a couple episodes ago. So really, the one most responsible for making you feel safe is the guy himself. He's not protecting you from someone else. His primary goal, if he's going to accomplish making a woman feel secure, safe, protected, his primary goal is to be a guy who exudes a whole aura of safety himself.
Right. You did that on, I don't know, our seventh date especially. You made it a point to say that you're going to protect me, protect my heart. You weren't going to hurt it in any shape or way, and I thought that was really special.
Wow, you still remember that.
I remember that.
For those of you listening in, it was after 7 dates I decided that I wanted Emily to be the one who hangs around with me all the time. We met and we liked each other a lot, and when I asked her to be my girlfriend exclusively, one of the things I made a point to tell her was that I was going to protect her heart, and I wasn't going to hurt her heart in any way. And as you can see, you know, it's been 6 months now, and that's the part she remembers, right?
I remember that very clearly, yes.
So that was something I did right. So God bless me for that.
But that goes along with the safety and the security, the comfort that is very important.
So women do very much need, well, need's a strong word, but appreciate a man who makes her feel comfortable, makes her feel secure, and makes her feel protected. But really, the guy is the one who takes the lead in setting an entire tone to the relationship, an entire environment that says, hey, this is a secure, safe thing we're doing here.
That's right.
Now, what do I mean by that?
It is not safe and security from the world. It's safe and security from the person we're with.
Interesting. So you mentioned before there's these guys that go around, you know, they have a hot car and they squeal the wheels and they're trying to impress the women and they're doing wheelies on their sport bikes up and down the street, you know, and they put you in that car with them and they're driving like a maniac.
I've had that happen. My goodness, that scared the living daylights out of me.
And then you don't want a second date and the guy's like, well, why not? I mean, I'm such a man. And the truth of the matter is, it's his fault that you didn't feel secure. He was the one blowing the whole thing sky high by not being safe, by him putting you in your own perceived situation of being in danger. He ruined the whole concept of safety and security himself.
Right.
Well, it had nothing to do with any outside influences.
This is the only thing I can figure is that it's their own insecurities they're trying to make up for.
Insecurities in what way?
Well, insecure in the sense that he's trying to compensate for not being masculine. Somehow, somewhere around the road, he's not feeling he's good enough, so he's having to do extra things to put us in danger, to show off, to be manly.
It's like Jeff Foxworthy when he says a redneck's last words are, hey, everybody, watch this.
Right.
Yeah. So a guy's doing these things that he perceives to make him look more like a man because he can confront danger and look, you know, death in the eye. But really, that's going to backfire most of the time because you all as women aren't really so into being around when that stuff's going on.
No, we don't want no part of it.
So here we go again. The common theme around here, of course, being that men in this country really have no idea what it means to be a man. So masculinity, in terms of attracting a woman, comes down more to creating a firm, secure, stable atmosphere for a woman where she feels comfortable in his presence, not in these tire-squealing situations.
Right. We want to feel safe with you as a person rather than you trying to protect us from the world.
And unfortunately, a lot of guys haven't figured this out.
I guess not.
But you would say, from a woman's perspective, that this is how most women see things when it comes to a guy being a protecting person, someone who instills a sense of security. This is the kind of thing you're thinking is what they're talking about.
Yes, this is what me and my girlfriends feel like.
So, if a man is going to start a relationship, we already talked about the example of me saying that I would protect your heart. And that's absolutely what I had in mind. I wanted you to feel secure. How important is this? I mean, if a guy is meeting you, is this something you have consciously on your mind when you're meeting him? Is this guy going to make me feel secure? Or is it more of an unconscious thing that you kind of just get a feel for after the date's going?
I think it's something that's unconscious. You know, sometimes you'll meet somebody and you have that uneasy feeling. You can't figure it out. And it's just, you just don't feel you could trust that person. You know, I've met men and I just did not feel I could trust them. Something wasn't right, you know, that eventually somewhere down the road I'm going to get hurt. And so that's when I bail.
Okay, so since that's unconscious, one of the things I think would be exciting to do in this podcast is make that conscious. Let's talk about some of the things that can happen especially in the early stages of a man getting to know a woman, that can, first of all, we're going to talk about things that can blow it. Things that can just make it a bad situation for a woman, give her an uneasy feeling. And then we'll talk about some ways that a guy can really do well to make a woman feel protected and secure. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Okay, let's go for it. Let's consider you're on a date. Let's talk about some ways guys blow the whole concept of being a safe and secure man in the presence of a woman.
Well, the first and easy one is don't do stupid things. Don't go out and, like we talked earlier, you know, make your car go 100 miles an hour and she's in there just biting her nails and grabbing whatever handlebar she can get to feel, you know, bail out of that car. Don't do stupid stunts like that.
So anything that makes a woman feel like, you know, I could get hurt just hanging around here, forget it.
Right. Okay. Just don't bother that.
We've covered that.
Don't pick fights with men. These are the obvious stuff. Now, some of the more subtle things.
Right.
What would you say were some of the subtle things that would make us?
Oh, I see your work, and you're going to put it back on me.
I am.
All right. So here's some of the things I would do on a first date, either consciously or subconsciously, I suppose, now that I'm being forced to think about it, to make a woman feel comfortable in my presence. The first thing is when she shows up, I'm not going to undress her with my eyes the first time I see her. And, you know, do the whole walk around, shaking my hand, going, "Woo, mama, look at you," and, you know, just looking you up and down and not looking you in the eye when I meet you. I think that first impression of me being someone that you can talk to and feel comfortable around, because I don't have that hidden agenda of trickery that we talked about a couple podcasts ago.
I was just thinking about that. I was going to go right down that road. If we could see your motives and see that those motives are, you know, not safe. In other words, that you're wanting to bed us and do whatever and then take off in another direction. Yeah, that's very
from
true.
Minute one, I am trouble in that area if I'm going to give that first impression. Now, I'm sure that you want to know at some point on the date, if we're getting along, that I'm attracted to you.
Oh, yeah.
But not at the get-go. You don't want me ogling you.
No, we don't want you undressing us with your eyes.
Right. Very, very good. That shouldn't be the first order of events. Now, the second thing I would do is I want to avoid uncomfortable, stilted, strange conversation, which is very easy to have happen when you're just getting to know somebody. So I'm going to, if I have to rehearse in front of a mirror, I will do it. But as soon as you come into the room and we meet for the first time, assuming that, and this could be whether we're meeting online, having talked on the phone, or it could be if I'm approaching you for the first time and I don't know you, I'm going to come up with something that demonstrates to me that I am willing to converse with you as if we've known each other for a long time.
You and I did that perfectly. We did that online. We also did that in person. And part of what I did, do you remember what I did?
Tell me.
I had a book. I had a book that had all kinds of questions in it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And so some of them I tried really hard. I read enough of them, and some of them I was able to get into my head so that when, if things were to get quiet or I'd at least have something to converse with, I could ask an open-ended question that would start up a whole thing for us to discuss about. That's a great way. You know, think about what's important to you. What you'd like to know about her. Write those down and reread them and look at them before you walk into your date so that you'll have something to talk about.
Now, you had this book that was like 1,001 things to ask people before you go to bed or something was the name of the book.
Right, something like that.
But it was very, you're right, it was very useful in just creating conversation and naturally learning about each other. And it's interesting you mention that, because a good segue here is one of the things I think makes women in particular feel very uncomfortable with is the whole interview process on a first date. So what do you do? Why are you here? And it becomes more of a business gathering instead of something that's just a conversation between friends.
Right. Choose some conversational pieces, some very simple, lighthearted things that you can just talk about off the blue.
Yeah, don't. When you first get to know someone, I think a woman is going to feel very safe and very invited if it's not this 20 questions, which is so easy to do when you're just getting to know someone, especially on a first-time date when you meet somebody online or a blind date. But really, everyone, men and women included, feel a lot more secure and at ease with someone when we're just talking and laughing, having, you know, a good time. Bring a couple ideas from current events with you. Say, hey, what do you think about everything that's going on in this situation, or what about those two celebrities that just broke up? What do you think about that? Guys, women love to talk about this stuff. Men never, ever get interested in it, but you can have a woman literally very comfortable just starting conversation, if you just keep it light, wait, you don't have to learn everything about the person in the first 10 minutes of meeting them. Just get along. Have a good time. And that will give the woman the impression that, hey, you're a good conversationalist and you're someone who's friendly. I mean, how important is that? How comfortable is it to be with someone who's friendly as opposed to someone who may be, you know, putting up this front of having to find all these questions, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, no one likes being in an interview. You're right. That's perfect. We want, like you said, someone we can get along with, someone who can be friends with, have that friendly atmosphere, and then move from there.
Okay, so now let's say we're more than 10 minutes into the date. You know, I've been respectful with my eyes. I've also been very good at creating some nice conversation. I think the next thing that I'm going to do is make sure that I am not crowding your space.
I was just thinking that.
Well, see, everyone, that must be a good one then. I'm going to physically lean back. We met at breakfast, and, you know, I physically leaned back in the booth and made sure I wasn't, like, all up in your chili on the table, you know, while you're trying to eat. And that'll give a woman a feeling of having her space and being able to, you know, remain secure in her own little world over there. So those three things, I think, are my top three in making a woman feel safe when I first get to know her. Now, there's bigger issues that hopefully I've got conquered by now at this point, especially since I'm a professional dating coach. But guys, go out of your way not to be creepy when you're meeting a woman, because creepiness equals a woman getting insecure real quick with you. So don't talk about things that are weird. Don't talk about things that are just not interesting to women at length. Like, you know, don't talk about your comic book collection.
Don't talk about don't make yourself the whole focus of the entire conversation either.
Yeah, that's kind of a discomfort factor, isn't it?
Well, what it is we need to know that you're interested in us. And same as us, we need to show the same thing in you. And the only way to do that is asking questions that draw. If I were to ask you a question, I want to ask a question that's going to draw you out. I want to know about, you know, your feelings on whatever topic I brought up. If a man does that with us, that shows genuine interest.
Which is a comfortable feeling.
A very comfortable feeling.
Now,
if you're spending your whole time on this date talking about me.
Right.
Well, you know what? I don't think you care about me. Something's not right. This is just going the wrong direction.
You use that other four-letter F word, feel. Women like to talk about feelings. That's what it all comes down to in this situation. Men are thinking, okay, I'm going to be, you know, a left-brainer about this, meaning I'm going to be real analytical, I'm going to ask questions, I'm going to keep things very sterile. And, you know, granted, men have no idea how to act on first dates. You know, should I keep it very, very friendly? Should I keep it very sterile? No flirting, nothing like that. I don't want to scare her away. And, of course, that's exactly how men land in the just be friend zone. So as I sit here talking about how men shouldn't be creepy, I'm acknowledging, you know, before all of my male brothers out there, it is sometimes an incredible challenge on a first date to pull off what we're talking about here. Because on one hand, you don't want to be creepy. You don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to have enough personality that she's going to think, man, this guy's just strange. But then again, if you play it too safe, she's going to go, wow, this guy has no personality, and I'm just bored at best, or having an uncomfortable, uneasy, awkward feeling over here because the conversation just isn't taking place. So really, it's a matter of a guy just talking to a woman as he talks to everybody else. Try to forget for a second, and this is what I do, I try to forget for a second that I've got this beautiful woman that I would be incredibly interested in spending a lot of time with across from me. Which, by the way, was exactly what was going through my mind when you and I had breakfast this morning, or that morning. It was when we had breakfast this morning, it was going through my mind too, but that's another whole podcast. And I think that if a man can portray his own comfort with the situation, in other words, he knows how to talk naturally. He's going to let the situation flow. His own sense of comfort around the woman is going to have a leadership effect on her that she's going to feel comfortable also.
Right.
Women like men who are leaders, and that is a key way where a guy can lead on a first date and get the woman to feel comfortable with.
Yeah. Go in there confident that you're a great person, that you're someone that she's going to want to be around. Treat her as if she was your buddy from high school that you've known for years, and, you know, skip all the what you'd be doing for your career. And this. Just treat her as if you've known for a long time and ask and talk conversationally. Very simple. Don't make it a big production, because it's really not. You know, she's lucky to be able to be on a date with you. Just enjoy it.
Well, and that was out of your mouth as a woman. You just said a guy should feel as if he's lucky to be out with a woman. And you know, just like I said in the recent newsletter I just sent out, most men feel like they have to impress a woman, that it's up to them to impress her. Instead, it's okay for a guy to feel as if he's going to qualify this woman, because in the end, ironically and completely counterintuitively to most of us men, she ends up thinking, hey, I feel safe around this guy because he has no agenda. We're just getting to know each other. He's got enough going on in his life, and he's enough of a catch that, you know, he's feeling like he's not so sure about me either, and I'm not so sure about him. And this is fun just getting to know each other.
Hey, that goes with the concept. If you feel confident about yourself, give yourself a little pep talk. In high school, we had the pep rallies. You know, give yourself a little self-help rally, whatever it takes.
Speech.
Make yourself feel great when you go in, because that's contagious. If you're feeling confident about yourself, if you're feeling that you are just this wonderful person and that you're going to have fun, and you go in with that attitude before you meet her, she's going to feel that. She's going to sense it and feel safe and comfortable that things are going great. That would go along with taking the lead. If you're feeling great and wonderful, you're going to be able to very easily take a lead. For example, do you shake hands, or do you hug, or do you just simply don't, you know, just exchange words? And if you make it a projection because you're nervous and don't know what to do, you know what? The best thing to do if you don't know, just make a decision which one you want and just go for it.
That is exactly what I was about to say. But you know what else I would do? In that situation, if I was going to meet a woman for the first time and I could not immediately sense which route I should go, I would probably do something with some humor tied to it. And, you know, I like women who can hang with that kind of humor. So what I would typically do, if she sticks out her hand to shake hands with me on a first date, which I think is just dorky, what I will do is I will grab her hand and I will look at her and get a kind of a wry smile. And I will pick her hand up as if I was going to kiss the palm of it, like, you know, the old chivalrous way of doing it. But instead, I'll turn it over and kiss my own hand instead and start laughing. And I think that diffuses that whole situation. Invariably, unless she has no sense of humor, she'll laugh.
Right.
So that's a freebie. I just tossed that one in there for free. But that's the kind of thing you're talking about.
Right. Well, I had that happen to me. And the fact that he couldn't decide whether to hug me or shake my hand or something as simple as an introduction or that we were departing ways. Gave me
the creeps.
Wasn't so much creepy as it just, that's such awkward. A simple task.
It's awkward.
It left it so awkward that if you can't do a simple thing like that, I didn't want to move any further. So, like I said, it's sometimes better to make a decision and do it than to make it a production.
So here you have this poor guy, and like I said, it's difficult for guys to get this right. If he goes into the situation and he, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Am I going to mess up here? He typically will. And there you go. He didn't have leadership. Strike one. He was unsure of himself.
The whole conversation went that way, too.
Well, I can imagine. He was unsure of himself, lacking confidence, which is strike two. And third, you're feeling a little awkward, so the comfort level is immediately not there as a first impression. And that's strike three.
Right.
Okay, so just to close out this segment of what shouldn't be done if you want a woman to feel comfortable, I would say, you know, we've covered a good bit of it. You don't want to be awkward. You want to make sure that the first impression is one that makes her feel safe, like we've talked. During the course of conversation, keep it light. And, you know, let's talk about some of the things that make a guy succeed here. How does a woman feel more comfortable? And for the record, before we go on, there's plenty of ways a woman can offend men in the same way we're talking about here.
Oh, certainly.
You know, I had a woman pour out her kidney stones from a medicine vial on a first date and talk about how painful each one of them was to pass.
Yeah, women can be just as creepy.
Yeah. I don't think it's much about the protection as it is about just being weirded out. But
yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. What are some things that we guys can do to really instill a sense in a woman of, wow, this guy just makes me want to be around him more. I just feel so naturally safe and protected in this guy's presence.
We want to know you have it together.
What does that mean?
Very simple. You know, we want to know you have your life in order, that you have your career in order, that you just got it handled. That you can take us on a date and you have that taken care of as well. You know, you already basically, and we already know what's going to be planned for the evening, that we're going to go on a nice dinner or that we're going to the park and just chatting, or like you took me to IHOP. But we, you know, at least it was taken care of in an organized manner. Look us in the eye. Don't stare at us forever in it, but, you know,
eye contact
is very important.
Right.
If you're looking at the ceiling and looking in every which direction but us, or if you're looking down at our cleavage the whole time, but look us in the eye. That's so important because that eyes are, someone says that your eyes are your windows to your soul.
True.
And we can see a lot with that.
And, you know, and that's, again, that harkens back to the whole concept of one of the most important ways that a woman can keep a guy around is to look him in the eye and have this glow that just radiates from her eyes. And that's how a guy knows that you're safe to commit to. So there's an interesting twist on it also. Wow, so, man, a guy's got to have a lot together here just to make you feel safe. But, you know, guys, if you're unemployed, you know, if you've got addictions, if you're an alcoholic, drug habit, pornography habit, know that if you continue in those ways, you are making women all over the place feel insecure around you.
Absolutely.
So you've got to get those basic things handled. And also you mentioned that the guy should have the date handled also.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of guys go around, and we talk about this in the book, Deserve What You Want. A lot of guys go around thinking, hey, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can for the woman. I'm going to be a nice guy. And when she gets in the car to go out on a date, I'm going to say, okay, what's your favorite restaurant? Where do you want me to take you? And the woman's all of a sudden confronted with a decision and having to make the plans. And my experience has always been, help me out with this, okay? My experience has always been that if I have something planned out for the woman, I know where we're going. And it could be everything from the infamous furniture shopping date to we're going to go out on the town and have a dinner at my favorite Italian restaurant. I have never had a situation where a woman goes, you know what, your plans were just idiotic and ridiculous, and I never want to see you again. But I have had several times where a woman goes, I can't believe it. It's like you read my mind. This is absolutely the most perfect thing ever. And you had it all planned, and it's been perfect. But I'll tell you, I've never had a situation where a woman got in the car, and if I was silly enough to say, where do you want to go, that it ever happened. And, you know, now that you and I have gotten a little bit more comfortable with each other, sometimes when we're in the car together, especially with the kids, I don't know what I want to eat, and I start asking around the car, and it never goes well.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Even I was going to say that when I'm with my friends, and we're like, where do you want to go eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go eat? The Jungle Book has some birds up on the lines. If anyone has kids and you've seen The Jungle Book, and the birds are like, what do you want to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. And nothing ever happens.
No
leadership.
And then
you get frustrated, and it just goes bad. Plan something, anything. And that reminds me. You probably have, you know, you planned this event. I'm sure you've had conversation before. Find out, and it's very easy, find out what she likes. You know, I've had that done before.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Take
the mental notes. Find out if she happened to like seafood. If you happen to found that out in your conversations previously, plan something around that. If she had mentioned, you know, at several conversations before that she likes going golfing or, you know, playing laser tag, whatever. Plan around things that you've already learned from her.
Listen.
That shows that you were listening.
There you go. Exactly. So here we go. Some of the things that we've heard about before. But you know what? Now we're learning, maybe for the first time ever, that these simple things we've learned make for a good date all boil down to making a woman feel comfortable with the man she's with. If the guy has listened and paid attention enough to her,
she'll have the warm, fuzzy feeling.
And that's what we all want. Now, before we wrap this up, let's talk quickly about the flirting aspect of being on a date. So many guys are like, man, I don't even want to do anything sexual because that's going to make this woman feel uncomfortable. Yet, if we don't do any of that, we end up in the JBF zone, don't we? The just be friend zone.
Well, there's a difference between flirting and being, what's the word I'm looking for? Where you look like you're dogging for sex.
Right.
You know, flirting
being
is great.
Being perverted and flirting is like two different things.
And I think oftentimes men get confused and they become perverted. You know, they start saying the F-bombs or they start...
Yeah, bad idea on a date.
Start saying sexual innuendos and just being just perverted and...
Even, you know, and even if the woman is being that way, it's good for the guy not to be that way.
Yeah, don't follow suit.
Because if she's being that way, she's expecting you to follow suit. And sometimes women just don't know what to do with a guy who will not immediately follow suit. So that can actually work to a guy's advantage. Although lots of guys are really turned off by women who are overtly sexual and drop F-bombs. So ladies, if you're doing that, that's probably not working for you. But you mentioned something very interesting. The concept of being perverted versus flirting, versus being so sterile that you're just another one of the girls and you end up laying in the friend zone.
Right. Flirting's important.
Flirting's important to making a woman feel comfortable.
You know, tapping on her shoulders and kidding around and, you know...
treating her like your bratty little sister.
Yes. Perfect example.
All the, you know, you don't want to just gush over how cute she is. But women, guys, remember, guys... have to know that women are much better at picking up on simple body language and nonverbal cues than men really are, you know. And this goes back to us being very, very careful with our body language instead of crowding you at the table and making you feel uncomfortable with our body language, to have comfortable body language. And that may be a good episode in the future for a podcast. But, guys... you can flirt with the woman, and she will flirt back, because women love to flirt as much as men do, and you're on a date, and once you've established that she enjoys being in your presence, if she's smiling and she's enjoying the conversation, you can start weaving into the conversation simple, conceptual ways of flirting by talking. You know, you can tease her a little bit, which is invariably flirting, understood
right.
to be flirting by the woman. You know, a key example would be one of the things I've done, I think you and I have talked about, is you allude to kissing in some way. You say, well, you know, if a woman says, hey, can I have a bite of your food? And you know she likes you because she's enjoying the conversation and you're at dinner or something. Can I try yours? I go, no. You know, you're asking me for some of my food. The next thing I know, you're going to want to kiss or something. We can't have that because it's the first date. And I love to take the stereotypes of male and female roles and reverse them. You know, if a woman is you know, getting a little close to me, I'll say something to the effect of, oh, my goodness, you're, like, invading my space. And, you know, what do you think I am, a piece of meat? You know, this is a first date and I don't do those things. And simply by bringing the subject up, in kind of a teasing way or a funny way, all of a sudden the floodgates are open and the flirting gets so much easier after the subject gets broached in some way.
Right.
You agree with me?
I agree with you there. And she'll let you know at what how far the boundaries are. Whatever she's done, don't go further than that. Stay within that bound.
Yes. And, you know, that's one point where a guy needs to keep his eyes open and realize what the woman's flirting style is. And, you know, just do the same kind of thing. Keep it light. Keep it funny. Don't get heavy. Don't tell her how much you want to have sex with her. Don't do anything serious when you're flirting. Flirting is supposed to be fun. Flirting is supposed to be enjoyable. And if you become the kind of guy who deserves what he wants, you are going to be the kind of guy who can flirt effectively with a woman, keeping it light. Because guys, if you think about it, you know you love a woman who flirts back with a fun and exciting style. So it's all, again, about deserving what you want. The whole concept we need to cover here about a guy being super jealous. You know, the jealousy is a situation where a woman is creeped out and made to feel uncomfortable because she's trying to defend herself from something that isn't even happening. That's something that a guy needs to rein in, because that's a self-imposed, selfish emotion that has no good value at all, yet we still partake in it, and it leads a woman in particular to feel as if the guy is not safe to be around, not secure to be around, and that there's some element of danger involved.
I was just thinking that there's potential of danger down the road, and I've actually dumped guys for that very reason, because if he's that way now, he just imagine what it's going to be like later.
Yeah, and if he wasn't so jealous and worried about you breaking up with him, you wouldn't have dumped him.
That's right.
So ironically, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, yes.
So that's a good note to punctuate this podcast on. I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode 6. Hope you've got something from it that you can take away with you forever. And we will see you next time on this podcast. Until then, check us out at www.deservewhatyouwant.com. You can subscribe to this podcast by going to ODO, to Podcast Alley, to NetVibes, Yahoo Podcasts, or iTunes, and you can make this your very own, and it will get pushed to you upon request once you subscribe to it. Also, check out our book, Deserve What You Want, available at deservewhatyouwant.com. And if you are not on my mailing list for the newsletters, you are missing out on a very important companion piece to all these podcasts. You can go to Deserve What You Want and sign up for the free newsletter. Just like these free podcasts, the newsletters are free, and that is available at Deserve What You Want, right in the middle of the page at deservewhatyouwant.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and when you like what you see, we appreciate if you would help other people sign up by sending it to some of your friends and relatives also. So until next time, I'm Scott McKay.
And I'm Emily Grillo.
And we'll see you next time on X and Y on the Fly.